Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is April Fool's Day, April the 1st.
Yes.
Did you have any practical jokers today, Wade?
Nope.
Audience, just jerks. Audience will notice we are man down once again. Brad is sitting on a plane, actually, on his way from, I believe, North Carolina over here to the West Coast. So he will not be joining us this evening for the podcast. But that's okay. I mean, you know, we're got work and it's fine.
We're missing a leg of the tripod.
And tripods, you know, they're unnatural. So we shouldn't spend too much time on Departed.
If anyone has seen that movie, by the way.
Which movie is that?
Was it a kid in high school? I forget what the title was. But they were, it was under the guards, they were making a porno.
The Girl Next Door.
There we go, yeah.
Yes, great movie. Fantastic. Girl in that played Jack Bauer's daughter in 24, and she is hot. Anyway. Weekend. Anything worth noting for you?
Finally got my taxes done.
Woohoo!
Got a ticket purchased the admission for WonderCon, which I will be going to this Friday, so tomorrow, when you're listening to this podcast, when it is up.
Will you be trying to generate any content from that?
Yes. Thankfully, from you, I'm allowed to take the ever-present GoPro and get some shots. Nothing provocative.
Well, maybe.
Well, you know, nothing. Okay. Maybe provocative, but nothing
explicit?
Provocatively intrusive?
You should stop.
Okay.
You're trying too hard.
Well, I'm not going to be shoving it down a woman's cleavage.
What if she asks you to?
I won't be using the GoPro.
Well said. Okay, so that's this coming weekend. Nothing worth noting from last weekend?
No, not really.
Just your taxes?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. For myself, my daughter and I had some martial arts testing Saturday morning, in which I kind of stressed my foot a little bit. I think I just kind of, like a hyperextension, but pretty mild. Come Sunday and Monday, it was completely resolved. But we had tested for our purple belt in Taekwondo under the ATA affiliation and passed with flying colors. So that's worth noting for Saturday. We also went to see the movie Home, which came out.
I did not see that.
So we'll talk about that in the movie section. And did some housework. Once again, the ever-present worked on the garden this weekend and added a little spice of color, which is always fun and exciting.
There's actually kind of some fun things I heard on the way to work today.
Yeah, do tell.
Let's see. One within the Indianapolis is trying to legalize marijuana.
Okay.
But they are worried of the local wildlife consuming the plant, which then getting high and losing their fear of people.
Has that been a study that's been tested?
I don't know.
It's got some interesting, perplexing topics involved to it.
I heard that. I'm just envisioning like this stoned out rabbit. Just like, you got another carrot, bro? You get another carrot? Just like, really?
So protect the crops.
One word, fencing.
Yeah, right? A little bit goes a long way. No, that is interesting, and it makes me wonder what kind of marijuana tests have been done on animals to see how careless they get.
Another one.
If you know, let us know with a link, because I'm really curious.
I know it sounds terrible, but I really want to see like a rabbit, a chipmunk, and a squirrel just high.
Like passed out in the sidewalk?
No, just to see like their actions just stoned out of their minds.
So if you know of a YouTube video, do share it with us. And that's pretty interesting.
And continuing with the theme of today, April Fool's, this is the second one. Are you familiar with Ben and Jerry's?
I am.
The ice cream company?
Yes.
5 years ago, they announced that they put into effect virtual ice cream.
Okay.
The fact that you could lick your screen and taste the ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So people just licking TV screens, computer screens, trying to taste the ice cream through
the screen.
Through the screen.
Okay, so that was 5 years ago. How does that relate to today?
It's April Fool's. It was an April Fool's joke.
So it was just a 5-year-old one.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
But now I'm gonna play a game with you, and I really do wish Bradley was here for this.
Okay.
I have 2004's company, April Fool's pranks. So I will say the name of the company, and I'm gonna see if you can guess if you're in any kind of ballpark of their prank.
I'm not gonna get any of these because I have no idea. It would be funnier if you had like choose A, B, and C maybe, and I can choose to see which ones.
Darn,
might be
well,
it.
I don't have that. Thought
I'm not going to know what a company's April Fool's prank was. If you want to list off a few, though.
Which I have
How about you do that?
Okay. Lego offers delivery via turtle.
Okay.
Maybe.
And they show a picture with a turtle and a Lego kit rubber banded to its back. Shell, rather, for our listeners. Okay.
Let's see here. Where is that one? Kickstarter dropped the E. I don't really know. That's really one. Jimmy Kimmel from Jimmy Kimmel Live. Spray on yoga pants.
Okay.
Samuel Adams releases beer containing helium. Put that into a bar scene for you.
Okay.
let's see.
You get a bunch of people trying to inhale the fuzz from their beer bottles.
You drink the beer, then you go try to hit on a woman.
Except helium doesn't affect you if you swallow it. It only affects you if you inhale it.
Well, they probably could be as they drink, so whatever. Redbox announces Mood Match to help you find the perfect movie. It's in terms to choose the right movie for your
state of mind.
Yeah. So blue, you know, something that needs to cheer you up. Gold, you know, something that's won an award. And then green, when you just need some action.
Okay.
Let's see.
Do one more.
Where was that one? That was just perfect. Here we are. TripAdvisor recommends vacations to fictional places, including Mordor, Azkaban, and the Death Star.
That would have been funny if Narnia was in there, too.
And the last one, Southwest offers round trips to Mars for $10,000.
I want to know if anyone paid it. and if Southwest actually took their money or not.
Because
I bet somewhere, somebody. Just saying.
People will buy it, who go for it.
True. Maybe. We'll see. So with that, let's jump into some movies a little bit. This will probably be a shorter show given there's only two of us.
Yep.
We're not going to drag this out, any longer than it has to be. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Even though we kind of dragged that out.
That's true. We did kind of drag that out.
Whoa.
That's
a long movie.
That got drug out. So coming out this week, we have Furious 7, rated at an impressive 87%. I will be seeing this. But continuing the global exploits of the unstoppable franchise built on speed, Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, lead the returning cast of Fast and Furious 7. Let's see. Essentially, I mean, if you're a Fast and Furious fan, Big Brother, the villain of the last movie, comes to wreak havoc on our primary staff. That Big Brother played by Jason Statham. This is rated PG-13, so be mindful of your little ones if you're concerned. And from what I understand, there is a pretty heartfelt goodbye to Paul Walker as he did die during the production and or filming of this. So hopefully, it sounds like they do him a lot of respect and justice. So that will be good to see.
Question.
Yes.
Does the 3-country-long runway make a reappearance?
I have no idea. However, I do know that they got access to a car called the Lycan Hypersport, which is one of only 7 ever in production and costs roughly $3 million.
Driven by a werewolf.
That would be cool, but no. Designed by a werewolf, maybe.
Okay.
So, yes. Number 2 is critically rated at 96%. This is down your alley, Wade. Titled... Oh, wow. That's an interesting picture. No, that's not what it's titled. It's titled It Follows. After a strange sexual encounter, a teenager finds herself haunted by a nightmarish vision and the inescapable sense that something is after her. I thought we talked about this last week, but for some reason... I don't know. The synopsis looks familiar. No real significant names in this one. Nothing that I recognize. Maybe horror fans will.
Namely, that's actually mainly because that's how a lot of horror movies synopsis should be. Synopsis should be.
You know, just enough of a tease. Yeah.
Just like I've always agree. Said, the less you know, the scarier it is.
This is true. Number 3 this week is Woman in Gold. This is rated 53%, starring Ryan Reynolds, Katie Holmes, Tatiana Maslany, and Helen Mirren. Woman in Gold, remarkable true story of one woman's journey to reclaim her heritage and seek justice for what happened to her family. 60 years after she fled Vienna during World War II, an elderly Jewish woman, Maria, starts her journey to retrieve family possessions seized by the Nazis, among them Klimt's famous painting, Portrait of Adele Bloch Bauer, the First. Together with her inexperienced but plucky young lawyer, Randy, she embarks upon a major battle, which takes them from all... Way the heart of Austrian established and U.S. Supreme Court. That got real wordy and I apologize. a World War II throwback with Helen Mirren and it appears Ryan Reynolds as the two in the limelight here. Again, rated 53% and I think it's rated PG-13. Number, what is this? 4 is... Effie Gray. This is with Dakota Fanning. Yeah, she hasn't been in anything in a while.
What was Dakota Fanning? Wasn't she the one in a zoo? We Bought a Zoo?
No, that was her sister. Elle Fanning.
Okay.
Tom Sturridge, Emma Thompson, and Greg Weiss.
Haven't heard of Emma Thompson in a while either.
Yeah. And Effie Gray, Emma Thompson, peers boldly inside the forbidden realm of Victorian society through the true story of a marriage of Effie Gray and a renowned art critic, John Ruskin, courageously exposing a secret world of unrequited passion hidden behind the veil of an, opulent, there we go, that's the word, public life. Set in an era where neither divorce nor gay marriage were an option, Effie Gray is a story of a beautiful young woman coming of age and finding her own voice in a world where women are expected to be seen and not heard. So there's that. PG-13, this is rated at 46%. So kind of interesting, kind of a throwback, which could be fun. Finally is Cut Bank, rated at 36%, 5 of 5 this week. This is rated R, classified as a mystery and suspense. This leads with Liam Hemsworth, a.k.a. Gale from The Hunger Games. Billy Bob Thornton and John Malkovich are just a few, along with Teresa Palmer. Let's see here. Dwayne McLaren dreams about escaping small-town life in Cut Bank, Montana, the coldest spot in the nation. with his vivacious girlfriend, Cassandra, played by Teresa Palmer. When Dwayne witnesses an awful crime, he tries to leverage a bad situation into a scheme to get rich quickly, but he finds that fate and an unruly accomplice are working against him. Thrust into the middle of a police investigation spearheaded by the local sheriff, everything goes from bad to worse in this all-American thriller. This is directed by Matt Shakman, and Billy Bob Thornton, who also makes an appearance. So kind of curious, you know, get rich quick, backfire story, which sounds fun. Wade is looking at 9gag on his phone, so
no,
that's fine.
I am looking at Teresa Palmer, wondering who it was.
She appears to be very cute from her snapshot. Oh, she's familiar. She's been in a bunch of crap. She was from Warm Bodies. She played the lead in Warm Bodies.
That's what I was looking at.
And she was also in The Sorcerer's Apprentice. And I am
number four?
I am number four, yeah. I think she's South African or something.
Agron? Yeah.
Yes, that'd be her. She is South African. She is quite cute.
She kind of looks like Kristen Stewart a little.
Only she knows how to act. So there's that.
And she smiles.
And she smiles. And actually appears to be smiling and not like dead from the neck down. So in the box office this week, we have Home at 52.1 million. Get Hard, which was the Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell movie, at 33.8 million. Insurgent at 21.5 and Cinderella at 17.
I saw a commercial for Insurgent yesterday, and it was like epic. The most thing, I'm like, not from what I've heard.
I mean, it wasn't a bad movie if you're into the franchise. Nothing was groundbreaking about it.
It's like the commercial's like, critics say it's amazing. I'm like,
actually, at 31%, they don't. But whatever helps float your boat. Like I said, I went and saw Home this weekend. I took the kid. And again, this is with Jim Parsons, who we all know is Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really, really cute. They did something fun with the grammar. They had altered not the structure of the sentence, so it wasn't like Yoda speak where everything was reversed.
Yodaized it.
But they took a word and they kind of used the wrong connotation. Like, if a word could be used as, like, for instance, where we would say I am alone, they would say something like I am a lonely or something like that. They would take the word and they would kind of use a different connotation or derivative of it. Yeah, like a different tense and kind of play with that. And it was really kind of fun because you could follow it, but the aliens didn't have a perfect grasp of the English language.
Yeah, so it's like if there's, let's say, a foreigner who is getting to learning English.
Yeah, kind of. There wasn't an accent there, but it was definitely, they didn't quite understand the syntax.
Yeah.
Which was kind of fun. And one of the things that was really cute, they used a few times, our main alien, who is O, played by Jim Parsons, gets trapped in like a 7-Eleven drink refrigerator, right? The girl named Tip, who's played by Rihanna, traps him in there. And he's tapping on the glass and he says, can I come into the out now?
Yeah.
So he's stuck inside the fridge and he wants to come out, but he wants to come into the out. So again, just kind of showing a little bit of a lack of understanding to the English language, but was done really creatively. I didn't notice this originally, I don't think I called it out, but Steve Martin plays the captain and Jennifer Lopez plays the girl's mom, Tip's mom. So
it's kind of weird for me because I've always thought, like, well, not always, but I noticed this in just this movie, said, why do we have, and in all respects to Rihanna, but why do we have someone who's not a kid voicing a kid?
Well, they do that all the time. I mean, Jim Parsons plays a, late 20s, maybe early 30-year-old on Big Bang Theory. He's 40-plus.
Glee.
You always have people like who, yeah, 25. Look at people on Glee. They're 25, 30, and they're playing 18-year-olds. You always get stuff like that. Typically, they only use kid actors when they're playing a very young young kid from probably, a voice standpoint.
Like you say, what's the kid's name from Hero 6, Big Hero 6?
Yeah. I mean, the boy in that was played by somebody of a suitable age.
Which we don't know. We're probably going to have to look that up, but whatever.
No, he was. Remember, I mean, it wasn't.
Well, so we don't know his name. But yeah.
Apologies there. But very cute. The aliens in Home don't have an aspect of family. They don't understand that. They're all kind of.
Wasn't this like first started out as like a short?
I don't know if it was. I can't speak to that.
Because I believe I remember them or seeing a short with this alien. Can't talk today. Aliens on a ship looking for a new planet. This could just be the trailer for a while. It
probably was just the trailer.
But it was just like every planet they went to was just inhospitable for them.
Well, no, it wasn't that they were inhospitable, as they were being tracked by a different species that was essentially destroying every planet that they were on. And so they viewed them as obviously an enemy, sort of predatory. But the plot's a little deeper than that. So
I just remember seeing like a short. It may have just been the trailer for it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember seeing the. What, Kip was her name?
Tip.
Tip, thank you.
Which is funny because her name is actually Gratuity. So when you express gratuity on a check, you're giving them a tip. So
it's a stretch, but all right.
It's kind of interesting. Another issue I have, big issue I have with movies like this that have a singer or singers as voice actors, is that every song in the movie is that singer's song. I mean, the movie was essentially an album for Rihanna in movie form, so to speak. And it was kind of annoying.
You're not really much of a fan of Rihanna.
I'm not. I'm really not.
I can listen to her music. Like, I'm not like, oh God, turn it off on the thing.
But sit in a movie theater for an hour and a half where every time there's music playing, it's a Rihanna song.
Yeah. There'd be a point where I'm like, okay, another station. I can't listen to Rihanna
anymore. That was kind of my point. But aside from those, you know, little things, I really enjoyed it. The kid enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. It was very cute, very creative. If you're thinking about taking the kids to go see it, I would definitely recommend doing that. Try to go to a showing, though, where the theater isn't jam-packed with kids, because that is obviously annoying when you got some little toddler screaming in the second row.
First-hand experience. Anywho.
But I don't understand why parents pay $12 to bring a kid in who's just going to cry the whole time.
And the most annoying thing for that is you've paid $12, then however much is for the little one, and it's like, okay, I paid money to see this. And you almost want to, I would almost want to get up. Actually, I would get up and tell these people, could you please take your child out in the hall and calm them down?
Well, our mother actually got in, and I don't want to say get into it, but right in front of us, a kid was playing on some electronic devices the movie was starting. It wasn't a phone. It wasn't that big of a screen, but it had some display. And mom had tapped the guy in front and said, can you have him turn that off? You know, you're not supposed to have this in the theater. And the guy goes, well, is it bothering you? And mom, a little too confrontationally, said, you're not supposed to have it in the theater. So the guy didn't do anything because he felt too...
Pressured,
or he was just trying to be a jerk about it. His wife, three seats over, did ask the kid to stop. But, I mean, again, you pay $12 at a movie theater to have your kid playing on a phone? I mean, what? Leave him in the car. What are you doing?
Well, that would get you arrested, but
you know
whatever.
My point. One last thing on movies before we move on to news. Furious 7. I will be seeing that this weekend. I have plans to see it tomorrow evening, actually. So look for firsthand commentary from that.
And I have a free movie ticket. Woohoo!
Woohoo! There you go. And with that, like I said, into the news.
And, well, since we are missing someone, and I will be taking the helm of the first story, I'm going to have to get through some backstory to lead up to the issue at hand. This first began, well, in my eyes, with the comic Batgirl, where people raised the issue of the cover not being too pleasing to them. The cover did depict Joker painting a smile on Batgirl as she was crying in his arm over his other arm around her shoulders, holding a gun. Well, some people, I will not name who, view this as oppression against women, and rose a big enough voice to get this cover changed. Second issue came in where we have, in terms for National Women's Month, I believe it is, Nintendo released a bunch of Rosie Riveter posters. If you don't know what those are, the woman that has that, she's in like dark blue overalls. She's got her arm up.
Oh, okay.
She says, "We can do it."
Sure.
Yeah. They took out the woman and put a bunch of their female characters in. Well, apparently this wasn't pleasing to these people either.
I'm just rolling my eyes, like,
saying, oh, this is everything that's wrong in video games. These characters are just palette swaps of male counterparts, even though Bayonetta, if you want to think of female power, think Bayonetta. This woman who can summon demons. Thank you.
Well, I mean, my issue is this. Do I sit here and take the stance that women are represented appropriately or fairly in video games? No. Obviously not, and a lot of examples that we've talked about. However, if your biggest concern in a day-to-day basis is the perception of people to a fictitious character in a medium that you don't really care that much about anyway, how good must your life be that you can dedicate so much energy into a cause like this, when in so many places throughout the world, women are physically, psychologically oppressed, beaten, killed for things that are out of their control, and the cause that some women want to take is that, well, video games don't represent women right.
Well, that's...
If you care so much about a feminist movement, why don't you try to free all women from the oppression in the world before you start pointing fingers at video game content?
There is, and I will get back to that, but then we get to the third issue where Lionhead Studios, the guys who make the Fable series.
Okay.
I know you and I have both played at least one of those games.
That's correct.
On National Cleavage Day, apparently that is a thing, they released a image of basically in-game art style of a barmaid holding two large, and what would you call them?
Mugs. That,
what?
Mugs.
Yeah, mugs. Flat.
Go with that. Flasks. They're not flasks. There's a term for it.
I guess we go mugs. Pints. Pints.
Pints. Pints. Okay.
Pints of ale. And, you know, her ample breasts were half out with a decent amount of cleavage. And, of course, people got riled up over this. And quickly after, Lionhead took it down and put up an apology.
And so that's like, another thing. Jesus. Like, why? I mean, I understand these companies are trying to be somewhat politically correct or trying to save face in a lot of different things. But when is enough enough? I mean, if you put out a picture, if it's a social sort of day like that, and you're doing something to kind of support and maybe poke a little fun at it, you put in that much effort to do it, and if someone says, oh, well, that's offensive, you're just going to take it down and apologize? I mean, I understand people should have a voice.
Yes.
I'm not saying, that's why we do this, so that we can kind of have a voice. And I don't think that people's voices should go unheard. But just because someone has an idea about something or a perception on something doesn't mean that that thing is wrong or incorrect.
My version, they took down the image, as I said. My version was that, no, leave the image up there. Have a second post saying, if this offends you, sorry. But you know what? This is our stuff. If you have a problem with it, don't play our games. And most of these people who are complaining about these things, don't play video games.
And that goes to my other thing. I just had a realization, too, if these women are so against...
Well, it's not just women, by the way.
Feminist groups that may not just be women are so against women seen as negatively or as weak or as sexual objects, why aren't they going after industries that pose real women as those examples, like Playboy, for example?
Victoria's Secret. Didn't hear anything about the fashion show.
Yeah. What? Oh, that's fine because what? It's real women. That's fine that they're in underwear with their, you know, breasts half hanging out. But why heaven forbid you do it to a video game. Why? Because you're shaping the hearts and minds of young children? Please.
Yeah. You want to talk about shaping the hearts and minds of young men, women, whatever? Sports. Cheerleaders. Look at those outfits.
Yeah.
You want to tell me that's not sexualized? BS.
Yeah. Not that I'm saying that any one of those should change, but my stance is if this is really an issue, why are you going after the most insignificant version of it?
Because they know they can win that battle, and if they go against others, they're going to be laughed out the frickin' door.
And why would they be laughed out the door? Because their statements are grossly out of context and proportion?
And that's the point that I kind of want to have here, or I want to bring up. It's that, why is that gamers can't tell a company, we want this, and, you know, in-game companies going, oh, okay, because we know you're our customer base, and you will give us money for that, what you want, but you will listen to other people who don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. If it was a customer base that said, we're not buying your game because you overly sexualize women or view them as weak or whatever, then I could see a gaming company saying, you know what, that's our client base, that's our customer, and we need to rethink this. But when it's groups that have no vested interest one way or the other, they're just picking a fight to fight, find something else to do with your life.
And, I mean, getting back to the point we were talking about, we have to a point where I've realized something is that we have these groups who are getting glossed past to saying more and more things, and I'm going to say something that's probably going to offend someone here, but more and more things are considered as rape. Right? Most likely.
I'm not really sure where you're going with this.
But, okay. And they get these laws passed where they can say more and more things are considered rape. Then they say, oh, we live in a rape culture because rape is on the rise.
Because more things are categorized now as rape.
Correct.
Well, yeah, if you broaden the definition of a term, you're going to have more things that apply to it, which then changes your statistics and reporting systems. Duh. Yeah.
Well, they say, oh, there's more rape. It's because you're broadening the definition of what rape can be categorized as.
Yeah.
And we go back to the point is where Garrett was talking about how good your life must be. Feminists were actually on a campaign to ban the word bossy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? And yet, because people use bossy towards women sometimes?
Yep. And yet...
Get a life?
And yet there are roaming bands of ISIS raping women.
Yeah. Again, and your concern in life is the word bossy when...
And yet...
Oh, the world kind of sucks outside of the U.S.
And yet the thing is that another thing in conjunction with that is that they released like the 33 reasons you should be a feminist. And one of them was like, you should be a feminist because a woman in China was being raped. It's like,
me so how being does being a feminist change that?
Yeah. How does me being a feminist here magically stop a woman in China being raped? And you bring that up when roaming bands of ISIS are raping women and you're trying to ban the word bossy.
Yeah. Well, this kind of leads directly into the law that was passed in Indiana this past week or so. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
It's been dubbed or even potentially named the anti-gay law, in which an Indiana governor has passed a statewide law that permits companies... the ability to discriminate against individuals based on religious grounds. So if you're Jewish, per se, and I'm Christian,
wow,
I now have the right in the state of Indiana to discriminate against you, whether it's hiring or wages or whatever, because my religious views are different than yours.
That's horrible. What the hell? That's
ridiculous. And this can go towards, like, it's called the anti-gay law. It, you know, it opens a door to any sort of discrimination whatsoever because my religion says. And I find it hilarious.
You killed my prophet / savior.
No, it's not even that.
So I'm going to discriminate against you and pay you less than what should be.
It's not even that. It's not even that deep.
Jesus.
It's I'm Christian and you're not, so I can do whatever I want against you because religion. You're gay and I'm a florist. I don't have to provide flowers to you because my religion. Now, on that note, there is a florist in Florida, say that three times fast, who discriminated against a gay couple for services for a wedding or whatever, who the couple sued, and that florist now has to pay penalties based on the lawsuit, based on discrimination. So you have one state that says, yes, you can discriminate. Discriminate away. Enjoy. And you have another one who says, can't do that. And this, unfortunately, is the result of, this is going to be a double-edged sword here, so I will try to walk the thin line between. But when you have the ability, when states have the ability to make their own laws that aren't federally controlled, you have these sorts of pendulum swings. You have one who stands on one side and one who's firmly on the other. They don't interact. They don't have to, because the federal government doesn't say they have to, because it's not, if it's not our federal law, the states can choose to mandate it any way they want based on, I mean, I would think that the population would have to vote on this, but there's been a lot of stuff in the news about people and staff or whatever now avoiding Indiana because of this, one of which is Angie's List. You've seen commercials for that where you can find services. They were supposedly building a huge office facility or something like that in Indiana that they have completely halted because they don't want to support the state over this law.
Oh, cool.
You have good celebrities boycotting it. You have people very outspoken about this for obvious reasons. So hopefully it gets some legal traction and we can get this revoked, because this is just, it's not right on every level.
And that brings up a point, is we're going back to feminism on this one here, is that have you seen Emma Watson's he/she speech?
No, I don't believe that I have.
I recommend everyone watch it. It's actually pretty good. And she goes on to the point where she speaks about, you know, feminist now is synonymous with just man-hating. And
not wrong.
Yeah. And she says that in the speech, she says that she wants men to, you know, join the fight. And it's saying, you know, yeah, I would love to, if it wasn't, you were seeing me as for what I am and not who I am.
Yeah. I mean, well,
I would gladly go wherever you want me to be, to sit down and talk about these issues and just finally do it. Just sit down and just destroy all these issues and come to an agreement. But they don't want to.
Yeah, they want to fight. They don't want to discuss and resolve. They want to fight.
Yeah, it's, well, not, and this is not Emma Watson wanting to fight. No, that's not what I've said.
It's the feminist group.
Yeah, it's,
although if she told me to show up somewhere, I probably pretty much would.
But it's sorry. That thing. It's,
no, sorry, not sorry.
It's a thing. It's a, just let us sit down and talk it out and we'll solve this issue.
Yeah.
But you won't let us, therefore it will be continuing. And it's even funny is now they've actually started labeling straight white males as like cis people. It's like, doesn't that even sound evil?
Cyst?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're
a snake. What is this?
Well, a cyst is not a snake. A cyst sounds is like a growth within the body that is potentially not toxic.
Cis?
S-I-S?
C-I-S or something like that.
C-I-S?
It's like, what?
I don't know what that is.
Am I a snake? What is this?
I don't know what that is. I mean, a cyst is a unhealthy growth, but that's got a T at the end of it.
Yeah.
Not to mention racist and derogatory, whatever, discriminating. But again, the world must be so good for that to be your greatest concern. Not getting food in your on your table and a roof over your kid's head. Obviously, those are covered for you. That you have the ability to go and parade around your views and ideals and criticize companies for not having the same views that you do.
And then demonize other people for not having the same views as you.
Yeah, exactly.
And when they bring up their views that aren't yours, that are opposing yours, you claim that you're a victim and, you know,
these and that's the problem people. Is that people are arguing emotionally and not logically. You can never win an argument if it's based in emotion.
Holy crap, this was a long subject.
Well, this is going to be our only subject because it is being so long. But I mean, if you truly want to have a spirited but productive debate and discussion, it has to be from logic.
I remember seeing...
It cannot be emotional.
I remember seeing... there's a video where I forget who this lady is, but she is a giant, and I'm going to say matriarchist, because a matriarchal society is where, you know, female...
The queen rules.
Yeah, pretty much. And I, this is what I... That's the terminology I use when I see the radical feminists. So just got that out there. She organized a group of women and went to a men's rights just gathering. It wasn't the men, you know, petitioning or walking down the streets marching. It was in a classroom in a university with someone giving a speech. And this woman with her group of, you know, females screaming in the halls, and she had a megaphone just screaming, and then eventually someone pulled the fire alarm, which, you know, when that's done, everyone has to leave the building, into which, you know, it got into a heated conversation, you know, argument. It's like, this is why, you know, anything that is beneficial for men, these people see it as negative to women. It's like,
yeah,
wow.
And one does not necessarily mean the other. Yeah, this has been pretty involved.
I've actually labeled, I'm sorry, that's the set that I have. I said they. I've actually labeled her Big Red because she is, well,
not a small woman.
Yeah, and red hair. And okay. I mean red hair, fiery
sure.
red.
Sure. So, wow, women's rights and discriminating states. Let us know what you think about this stuff. I mean, this is some pretty deep conversations that I wasn't really anticipating.
But I brought this hammer on you, didn't I?
It makes for a good heated discussion. Give us your two cents on this. Are the feminists right? Is there a better way to go about it? Curious minds want to know.
I think there is. Give me a table and two chairs and we can talk this out. Done.
Yep. So there's that. If you've got two cents to share on the matter, please do so. Let us know on Facebook or hit us up on Twitter. We are always willing to discuss topics further.
Oh, yeah. Come on, guys. If you want us to talk about something, let us know.
That's right. And with that, we're going to hit the road. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening and goodbye.